Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Center and Valdez Medical Clinic and also Providence Valdez Medical Hospital right here in Valdez. And good news is it's a little bit quiet on the home front, so we're really liking that. But I know COVID is not over. So how do we deal with this, Kathy? I guess the malaise of it. As we don't have a lot of cases, I think we're doing a pretty good job of just doing what we do now.
Yeah, I think people are pretty much used to grabbing their mask before they leave the house and putting it on before they go in the grocery store, and I hope people can keep up with that. Or, you know, I find myself not washing my hands as much, and I don't want to do that, so I have to remind myself that there still could be germs on things, even though we haven't any cases in town, and we say, oh, you know, the cases are great. That's great, but it also, if that means that everybody lets their guards down, all it takes is one case. I was just listening to something that was interesting reminder, because I certainly understand about exponential growth that, one case could become two and two could become four, and those four people each meet four people and that's 16, and holy cow, you know, it gets big fast. And maybe if it doesn't get big that fast, because it's not 2-1, but even if it's 1.3-1, this one case becomes, you know, on the average 1.3 in the next go around 7 days later, and it can really get out of hand really quickly. And we need to remember that. And Anchorage, the whole state is still higher by a factor of 2 or 3 than it was this summer. So it could really burgeon really quickly if we're not still careful.
And Kathy, I think when this first started, you know, you kind of thought, if I was anywhere near someone, you were definitely going to get it. It's all going to be over. But how do you explain that? I think here in Valdez, I mean, I think in some cases we've had people who tested positive and hadn't been around a lot of people. But we have other people who tested positive, were around a lot of people, and it hasn't, you know, we haven't had a big super spread event. Is that the demographics that we have? Is that the health of the people who have been exposed? You know, what is that? And I think our mindset's changed a little bit, and focusing a little bit more on, you know, it's good folks who have pre-existing conditions, or are you finding out anything more about that? Why some people, you know, are exposed and don't get it, and why some are?
Well, remember, there's still some luck involved. You know, it's like rolling dice, and you say, okay, well, you're going to lose if you get snake eyes. Well, if you just roll the dice once, your odds are pretty good. But if you roll the dice 1,000 times, you're going to get snake eyes at least once out of there. That's common sense, but it's easy to forget when the risk is pretty low. If I decide to go at 55 miles an hour down West Clutina, right when school is getting out, the chance I'm going to hit somebody is pretty high. But if I do that at 3 a.m, I might get away with that for forever. But it won't be for forever. Sometime there's going to be somebody out walking their dog.
I think people understand
that. And it's not going to work, you know?
But I think the attitude has changed, because it's kind of been, you know, don't do this, this will happen. Pretty finite. And I think there's a bigger recognition of the percentages, perhaps, that...
But that can work both ways. That is,
well, I'm not saying I don't understand.
We're expecting a tidal wave at the beginning, because we saw it go to a nursing home and in Seattle, and, you know, wipe out half the people in the nursing home, and half the people died because they were nursing home people, and it was early in the epidemic. We didn't know as much about how to do it, and we in Alaska have done amazingly well with our, you know, hospitalization rate and our death rate, because we have a lot of young people, and that's who's been getting it, because those are the people that are out and about. And a lot of the elders don't live in nursing homes. They live with their families or by themselves or out in a cabin in the middle of nowhere. And so our death rate tends to be low. And so we don't have in our minds anymore the image of, holy cow, if it gets started in your neighborhood, your nursing home, then it's just going to rip through the whole thing and kill half your neighbors. That doesn't happen in neighborhoods in Valdez because we have space, we have young people, we don't have people who are, you know, average age 85. And so we get complacent to say, oh, that'll never happen. We still have to remember that of the people who get it and get over it, that's some huge percentage, like, you know, 40% or more, still have something at 6 months, have something left. They're still tired. They still can't taste anything.
Yeah, I'm not discounting
you know, so you still want to get it, even if you're 25.
Yeah, no, I'm not discounting the disease, and I'm not making a statement about what people should do. I'm just saying I think the tone or the recognition that it is, you know, it is essentially a percentage. It's a luck. It's a little bit of a
You have to add all those up. If everybody took off their masks,
yeah, I think people get that.
Post office this week, what's the chance that we'd have a spreader event? Oh, pretty low. What if everybody did it?
Yeah, I mean, I think
day,
people get
day,
that. I was just, I
the
think
chance goes way up.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's because, you know, everyone's getting a little tired of. Anyways, it is. Yeah, I'm not discounting what it is or even talking about what it is. It's just the recognition that it is a percent. I don't think that was happening early on at all. So I think it's an important thing, and it gives people listening out there a little, you know, they can see it happening and they know it's not, you know, what initially was said. This is still, you know, and some people are still saying this is what's going to happen. And, you know, it is no understanding why and how and who.
Yeah.
And
well,
what the conditions
are. We do understand
are.
More. I mean, I remember being on the other station in town and talking about fomites and how you ought to clean off everything. And, you know, people were wondering whether they should let their groceries sit for 3 days before they even touch them or wipe off every box or every grape. And we know that it's not that contagious off of things as we used to think about. Do I still do all my doorknobs? I absolutely do. But we're not quite as afraid of that because we know the numbers better.
Yeah, and I think that's just the point. Actually, I think that's why people enjoy these interviews, because it's not someone just saying, here's the rules and here's what you're supposed to do. It's a little bit of, you know, here's why. And mm-hmm. I think people have sometimes more common sense than we give them credit for out there. So shout out to you people. But
exactly.
I did want to get into, really what's going on is kind of the vaccines and the different strains out there. So can you amaze and astound us with medical facts or maybe the latest on that? It seems like it's getting, you know, it was pretty simple when you just have one and then you have two. And now you have several different vaccines rolling out. And then, of course, different strains and there's in different areas that are getting these other new vaccines. They're not essentially as effective against the new strains. So how does that affect the United States and here in Alaska?
Right. Well, it takes very little in our jet society to spread things from one place to the other. You know, it might have been in the olden days when you had to be on the ship for 9 months to get from here to there that, you know, you didn't have diseases spreading from one country to the other. You either wiped out the entire crew of that ship or they all get over it by the time they got to your shore. We do have one of the new strains in Alaska proven. I think we've got all of the new strains that are being talked about on the news, the Brazilian one, the South African one, the English one. I think we have all of those introduced to the United States in some place. And, you know, everybody's trying really hard to do extra quarantining and extra, you know, not letting it in the first place. And then if it does get in, really making a barrier of quarantined people around that case, even if they don't have the ability like we have had in Alaska, or at least in Valdez, not even in Alaska, to quarantine, you know, do the tracing and say, oh, you and you and you and you, please, 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 or for sure, stay home. So you don't, even if you catch it, it won't go on to the next and have twice as many people, So they're trying really hard to keep those strains out, but you won't be able to entirely. And if you have a strain that's, 40% more infectious, I think they're thinking that one in England is 70% more infectious. What that means is that it takes less exposure to get sick. And I haven't read about this week, so I don't know if they know more, but is it because it sticks to tissue better, or is it because people don't have as good defenses against it, just not a vaccine, but just in general, to say, oh, this is horrible, throw this away, just I'll make mucus against this. Whatever it is, it just doesn't take as much exposure. So it might have been that a mask 6 feet away and 15 minutes in less than 15 minutes gave you pretty good odds on the virus we've been having in this country. But the one in England, all of a sudden, it was only 5 minutes, or it was, you know, if you're 10 feet away now, it was okay, but 6 feet wasn't as okay, or, you know, maybe it floats farther. Whatever it was, or whatever it is, they just, all of a sudden, things are taking off again. You get more cases from every exposure. Then the South African one, I think the problem is that it's changed enough that, for instance, they've got a whole bunch of vaccine that they say, wait a minute, don't give this vaccine because it doesn't work on this particular strain. And that's a different kind of vaccine than what we got, and they don't really know how well our vaccine, you know, the mRNA vaccine works against that I've heard of. But they're just saying, pause, no reason to give a vaccine to everybody if it's not going to work against the kind we have in our country.
Yeah, it sounds the South African government said no. You know, it's sitting there, and they said, no, we don't want to administer this. So that's pretty interesting. And, I'm wondering, too, what happens back in the labs? Because I took... science in high school. So I'm picturing a bunch of people in white suits, goggles, and, they're putting little droppers in and changing the variables of the components. And then, till they get the right mixture, the right sauce. Right. But what really is it like when they say, hey, this vaccine is, has to go back, it's not working on this strain. When it goes back, what do they do? Do they have to start at the beginning of the development phase, or what's happening in those labs, and what does that mean when it's not as effective as they want it to be? Can you salvage that vaccine? Do you have to start again?
Well, you can't take that vaccine back and irradiate it or something and make it different. It could be that they could send that vaccine to Cambodia, where they don't have that strain yet or something. So I hope that it's not going to be tossed out. But they can't take it back to the factory and fix it. But what the factory can do is say, wait a minute, don't make any more of that kind. It would be like the flu vaccine. Every year they say, well, we're going to put in, we're going to have it make immunity to, this strain and this strain and this strain. And what they're doing is saying, we need one that has immunity to the original one, but we also need one that has immunity to the South African one if we're going to give it to the people in South Africa. And they don't have to go back to the drawing board as to how to make this vaccine, or they just have to say the component that's hooked onto the base that is what makes the body notice it. They just have to go back and change that component and quit making the regular vaccine, the original vaccine, and make one that matches better to what people are facing now.
All right. And I think it's probably worthwhile to mention what's happening with vaccines here in Valdez. We talked about this last week, but for folks who missed, we're kind of on pause, right? Still awaiting the rest of the nation to kind of catch up, so everyone's it kind of in the same spot. That's a very crude definition, but essentially I think that's what we're doing, right?
Right. I think that we're getting to some of our older essential workers. I'm told that the teachers over a certain age, I think it's 50, have been eligible. And I know that some Alyeska people are eligible. They're considered, we got to move the oil. I don't know all the details of that, but I think that we've done enough of the 65-year-olds that they're kind of trickling in now as opposed to standing in line, whereas the lower 48 is still working really hard to figure out how to do that, trying to use commercial pharmacies, trying to be able to set up big events that Valdez has been doing for a long time.
They're running them through HMOs, but still. Yeah, they're running them through all kinds of HMOs and lots of paperwork, from what I understand. I know from California and talk to folks in Phoenix and Colorado. Like, it seems like a lot of paperwork in those. You know, that's just my familiarity with it.
I did paperwork for my parents, and I appreciate somebody from CVS Pharmacy coming out to their assisted living facility instead of making them go someplace. But it involves, you know, filling out all your insurance forms and doing it again for the second shot. And frankly, they wouldn't have been able to do it themselves. I'm glad I had the ability to do that. And I really hope, after I get off this phone call, my next phone call today is to their assisted living facility to say, now the person who was telling me this on the phone was wrong, weren't they? It can't be like that. They were insisting that, oh, they're going to get one dose of Pfizer, one dose of Moderna, like everybody has to get one of each. I said, no. That's absolutely backwards. You're supposed to get the same vaccine both times. And I hope that they don't have it messed up like that.
Well, and that's from what you said, just to reiterate, I think once you get the vaccine, you get a card telling you when to come back for what, right? So I think it's...
Exactly.
But yeah, the onus is on the person.
It's easier to keep track of in Valdez than it is in some big city.
Yeah, I don't want people out there thinking, what? But I think that's what happens here, right? I don't know. I haven't been at the...
You're definitely given a card. You're also given the opportunity to sign up for the app for them to send you a text once a day to say at the beginning, once a week after that, saying, are you sick? How'd you feel? Did your arm get sore? So we're getting more and more information about what are the side effects or the risks of the vaccine. We've, for instance, found out that the anaphylaxis thing is a lot lower than we thought it was right at the beginning. So,
all right. I think those were the things we just wanted to cover. We thought we'd get in, get out quick, because if there's not a lot,
I guess I should say one more thing about this Johnson & Johnson vaccine that's coming out, that it's an adenovirus vaccine, and it's only like 60% effective. And people go, ooh, you know, is that good enough to even worry about? They apparently, and that's after one dose, and that was going to be and the fact you don't have to keep it at minus 110 degrees or something, where it's stock and trade. The problem is that is 60% good enough if you could wait for the other vaccine and get 94%? Maybe yes, maybe no. But they are also continuing a study on giving a second dose to those people. And it might be that two doses of that new stuff is going to be fantastic. So it hasn't been approved yet. Either in one dose or two doses, but that's what's on the horizon.
And we talked about that before, I think, as well. The numbers really aren't in on the second dose efficacy rates because they don't have enough people who've had them and tested that really to a huge extent at this point.
Yeah, they're still working on that one. They haven't continued the study for long enough yet. And it actually gets harder to test vaccines the fewer cases we have in the country. So we lucked out on the first one that the country was going through a total disaster at the time. So the fact that it's down in the United States is a very good thing. But if you want to test vaccines, it's nice to have, you know, Los Angeles with 1 in 3 people getting it. It's a perfect time to test a vaccine, but let's not do that anyway.
That is a good question, though. You know, is this helping? Because I know people are cautioning that there's not enough vaccines to think we're out of this yet. But are there, you know, is the vaccine having a market effect on the number of cases? And are we even watching that? You know, I think we're so focused on case count. And then, you know, then behind the scenes, then we throw in a bunch of cases that we forgot about from last week. And, you know, so it's hard to know what number to track or if it's being tracked.
And thank goodness people aren't saying, let's do this experiment when we try just vaccine, and no close downs and no, no masks and no social distancing, and let's see if that works. Nobody's doing that, thank goodness. You know, the places that have such horrendous caseloads right at the moment, wherever they are. They're closing the school, and they're saying no bars open, and they're enforcing their masks, and they're encouraging that or mandating that more, telling people to stay home more. We really need it all until we can get up to the herd immunity level in the vaccine, which is going to take a while, even if we had all the vaccine in the world. Still going to take, a month to get the second shot, and then at least 2 or 3 weeks, if not a month after that, to get your immunity up. So talking at least 2 months, even if we could vaccinate everybody who hasn't had a vaccination tomorrow. And remember, we don't have a vaccine that's approved in kids yet. So we can't do everybody. It would help a lot if all the adults were vaccinated, but we can't do everybody yet, by definition, until we get one of these approved in kids. I'm sure they're working on that.
All right. Well, maybe we can touch base on that next time. But thanks for checking in once again, and we'll catch
up
again.
Yeah, let's keep it boring in Valdez. That's
great. Yeah, we like boring. Very good. Okay, thanks a lot, Kathy.
You're welcome. My pleasure.